Jonathan Cherry, CEO of Cherry Flavor Media. Good morning, sir, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Kina.
Now, last week you did an online webinar on the future of manufacturing in South Africa. I know we're doing some awesome stuff around AI in that space, so tell me about it.
Yeah, so specifically what I was looking at, Kino, is the shift in mindsets that's really required in manufacturing, and I think in so many different industries in South Africa. But manufacturing is one of those sectors that, you know, many academics have looked at the decline in manufacturing in South Africa, and that's for a number of reasons, the decline of manufacturing around the world.
Mm.
But what I was really starting to look at was what is the entrenched mindset that South African manufacturers have currently, and just some of the things that are pervasively thought is that as a South African manufacturer, you just cannot compete with China. You're basically part of a chain where you don't necessarily have much control. You think that marketing is an expense that you can't necessarily afford along with innovation. Many manufacturers think that strategic planning is just taking last year's numbers, adding 10% and then projecting that as what the new plan is going forward.
I'm sorry for laughing, but that is so true. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's many businesses, Kina. That's many businesses think that that's what strategic planning is. But there's some interesting changes that are happening. And as a futurist, I'm always interested in the change and what could result from that change. And the one thing that's very pervasive right now is that so many people are starting to question the design of the globalization system. Governments themselves are starting to say, listen, this thing is just too fragile. We need diversification in value chains. And even Cyril Ramaphosa a couple of weeks ago was talking about the need for localization in the South African economy. So there's a real push towards that. The other thing that's very interesting from a marketing point of view is that a lot of manufacturers are moving from a position where they just supply the next link in the chain to what we're now calling direct to consumer. So they are able to set up stores, they're able to set up online platforms that allow manufacturers to now deal directly with consumers and not necessarily work within the constraints of a retailer or a wholesaler or things like that.
I think retailers are going to get and it's not just looking at this type of manufacturing, it's all sectors. So even farm to community, for example, I can see this taking place where let's say you take Faircape and you say, I don't want to go through any of our big retailers. Let's see if we can get orders in bulk in a particular community and order directly from the dairy itself.
Right. And exactly, Kino. Just last week, I was having a look at some interesting developments coming out of Frito-Lay in America. And you think of a company as big as Frito-Lay, they supply mainly to retailers that sell their products. They are now opening websites called Snack Time, where you can go and buy subscriptions of Frito-Lay products, and they deliver directly to your door. So no longer are they necessarily just supplying retailers. They're starting to open up new channels. So this is a new thing. But I think as a result of this, I think the mindset shift is one where manufacturers in South Africa need to understand that the most important person in the whole mix is the customer.
Yes.
The customer is determining that things are changing, and you need to service the demands of the customer, not necessarily just what the chain is saying. And the other thing that I think is so important is that there are opportunities all around us. And it's not just about taking what you did last year and then trying to replicate it with slight increases. You've got to be seeing what the changes are. The environmental push that's coming through is a massive change. The fact that we need to diversify value chains is a huge shift. So I think in manufacturing in South Africa, there is a lot of opportunity, but it requires a shift in mindset to take advantage of.
But part of that mindset is, well, what is China good at? They're good at doing bulk and cheap a lot of the time. Yes, you can buy, but they can't do absolutely bespoke. So, and a good example for me is the person who started making the uniforms for Nando's. They started out, I think, with one little store, and Robbie Brosen was talking about the story where, they started making the initial uniforms, and now the person has an office at the headquarters providing designed clothes for Nando's for the group, basically. And there's an example of a niched opportunity that you can take advantage of.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm not. We've spoken about this on the feature before, but did you know that Nando's is one of the biggest sellers of South African art internationally?
And that's phenomenal.
Yeah, so exactly as you say, Nando's are looking for opportunities. They're looking for diversification. And they are proudly South African and selling South African brands to the rest of the world. And that, I think, is the opportunity for local manufacturing to identify what they're good at, identify their strengths, and then to play into that and sell those branded items direct to consumer. I think there's lots of opportunity there.
But I think we take for granted that retail is going to remain in its current form until the cars come home. I don't think it's going to be. I think there's, especially now since we've had this mindset shift.
Yeah.
People are, I think, going to be more open to hyper-localization in their communities. Where I don't mind the corner shop as long as there's a digital experience I can potentially have, as long as, you know, whatever they stock meets my needs. It's easier for me to take a nice little walk, go there, come back, as opposed to go to some stupid parking area in some clogged up mall where everybody's breathing down my neck just to get to one shop.
Yeah, and Kino, that digital transformation is becoming cheaper by the day.
Yeah,
the tools are now available that you can have these options no matter what business you're in. So yeah, I think there's going to be a huge wave of digitization and shifting in that innovation space towards technologies that just allow you access to new markets. So I absolutely agree with you. There's no longer these constraints which we just assumed would last forever. Things are opening up in a big way.
Now, amidst, you know, the violent protests in the United States, Nike has always been that brand that says, hey, we're not going to skirt the issue. We're going to get down and dirty and deal with the challenge, right? They've come out with an ad that encourages the opposite of what they've always preached, though. So, and I also believe we're going to be playing a little bit of this, if Brad Joe is to be believed, which he is 99.9% of the time. So do you want to give us a bit of an intro before we do anything?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to play it because actually there's no sound to it, but I'll talk you through
it.
And exactly as you say, Kino, Nike has been one of those brands that for a very long time have been involved in political activism. You remember Colin Kaepernick. We've spoken at length about how they've been involved in that and the NFL. So there is a new ad that's come out, which is just simply words on a black background, white typeface on a black background, and I'll read it out for you. What they're saying is, for once, don't just do it. Don't pretend that there's not a problem in America. Don't turn your back on racism. Don't accept innocent lives being taken from us. Don't make any more excuses. Don't think this doesn't affect you. Don't sit back and be silent. Don't think that you cannot be part of the change. Let's all be part of the change. And then the ad just ends with the Nike logo. And I think that is resonating very well with people. But a lot of other brands are also jumping onto the bandwagon, including Netflix, YouTube, the NFL. And there are people that are saying, well, you know, it's great that brands are being part of it, but some brands are just taking advantage of this change and trying to commercialize it, which in some sense I do agree with. So I think if you are a brand like Nike that has built a heritage of being involved in these kind of socially aware messages, then it works for you. And I think Nike have done a great job in this instance.
So authenticity at the end of the day, right?
Exactly, exactly. So look out for more brands being involved as the shift, which is emerging in the United States, carries on.
I mean, the funniest thing about that is probably the cheapest ad they've ever produced and probably one of the most effective.
Yeah, exactly. and exactly, simplicity just kind of works. And if the message is great, then it'll do well.
Indeed. And it's just a black background with white writing on top of it. I mean, that's it. Exactly. And the Nike logo at the end. Now, professional sporting events are set to resume shortly, but what will live games be like without the fans, though? Because the Japanese have an innovative solution, though. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so this is an interesting innovation from the J League, which is their football league in Japan. Understandably, with social distancing, even though sports is coming back, people are not allowed to go to stadiums. So now, what is it going to be like? What's the vibe going to be like if teams are playing to an empty stadium? Yeah. Well, Yamaha come up with a really great idea. They've developed an app where people can sit at home, watch the game on the TV, a live game, and then they can shout at their smartphones. What this app actually does is that it takes those live streams and it actually amplifies it into the stadium via the stadium speaker system. So you can think that this would probably only work in Japan. But yeah, it's an interesting idea. But I thought it's one of those cases where I'm quite surprised because Yamaha is quite a big company. Yeah. And they've quickly seen the opportunity to obviously innovate into the space. Kino, to be honest, I'm just hoping that we get through this quickly because I can't think of anything worse than watching a Stormers game where, you know, fans are screaming and swearing via the loudspeaker system, which at the best of times in that Newland Stadium is not very good.
The positive side of that is Kaizer Chiefs supporters will now have to break down their own homes.
Yeah, it's
they can't be tearing stadia apart anymore.
Yeah, it just boggles the mind, Kino. So let's hope that this innovation doesn't last too long. I think it's a stopgap. People will be back in stadiums soon.
No, my word. I mean, all of this, hey, we talk about where we're moving. It should all be about leadership. And I think two of the most frustrating discussions that I've had on radio were with people in the hospitality industry, where one person was saying to me, no, we need to have restaurants. We need to fold them up. We need to have people sitting together. And another person said to me, no, we still need to fill up our convention centers. We still need to have 400 people in the convention center. And I think what these people miss is that actually this is a great opportunity to innovate, try something new, and add it as part of your value offering at the later stage once you're able to open up to everybody.
And yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. And it is about seeing opportunity and not necessarily, I think for restaurants, it's not necessarily about taking away the innovations once they're open. I think this is a great opportunity to extend your line, extend the brand line and that you have, extend the reach. But yeah, I feel for restaurants, really, I do.
Absolutely. Now, what's your pick of the week?
Pick of the week, you know, Paul Raffaele from...
Did he WhatsApp you?
Yeah, no, he phoned me. He knows that my phone doesn't work very well on WhatsApp, so he actually gave me a call. And he showed me some of the clever advertising that they've been producing. And the ad which they released yesterday actually said, listen, we know that the drink that you're more interested in buying today is probably not hot chocolate. But let's remind you all of the things that do go with hot chocolate, which is brandy and whiskey and all sorts of other things. But just remember that Zol doesn't necessarily go very well with hot chocolate.
I saw that.
I think what Nomu's done very cleverly is that they've seen a tactical opportunity to jump onto the excitement around the resale of alcohol. And they've also brought in the viral sensation, that Zol video that's been going around. So just a clever tactical little ad from Nomu. Cost them absolutely nothing. Mm. But again, I think they're thinking innovatively and well done.
That's what I love about the team, hey. They're always thinking on their feet. Very clever indeed. Is that something? I've looked at some of it yesterday. I don't think we can play all of it, though. Can we play it?
No.
You can't really play it because you have to see it. You've got to see the brandy and the, you know, it's one of those ads that you actually have to look at. So what I'm going to ask is I'll send my copy of it to the team and we can maybe post that online, Jonathan. But listen, great chatting to you as always. Your website, where do we find you?
It's cherryflavorflava.com.
There we go. Thank you very much, sir. He is the CEO, the chairman of the board of Cherry Flavor Media, Jonathan Cherry.